sonics. And the Word was with God, creative intelligence. The Word was made flesh. Sonics holds the shape, the geometry of the 144 elements to look like a human body. And if you were to hear the sonics inside of your own body, you'd freak out. They don't sound like music. And dwells inside of it, this song. So when the doctor examines you, he listens for the first pressure of your heart to give him an indication if you're healthy or sick. And the heart doesn't say ding, 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 ding. Or, hello doctor, I'm sick. Or it doesn't say go ready, but it has a certain resonance to which it operates. If it's too fast or too slow, and if it's on time. If it's on time, you don't go to the doctor. If it's off, you go to the doctor. And then he hears it and measures it, and then he tells you if you're too fast or too slow. And the layman, or the patient, is not aware. But man is catching up scientifically with the religious connotations and descriptions of his existence, what he actually is. So the church teaches you who you are and make you feel guilty from the agricultural language. Science teaches you what you are and frees you from the guilt that makes you more committed to live your life moment to moment. They both are forcing us to look at ourselves. It's not who you are, it's what you are. More and more the years go by, your newspaper, media, and all the different organizations will be popping up with the reality of the truth that what you are will keep you functioning. Who you are will let you know. So, we're involved in a very unusual process called realization. And it's not some nebulous process. It's a very factual science. So factual that every split second it's around you and you miss it. But you don't recognize it. Till you hurt yourself long enough and then you have to clean up your act. And it's not a holier-than-thou attitude. So that's why they say, in the beginning was the Word, or the sound. And the Word was with God, creative intelligence, and it made flesh, that is tissue, and dwells in man. Do you know something? And they cut the cord and you don't breathe on time and throw you away. And the only reason you're breathing is because you're breathing on time. And then they keep you. That's what you are like it. Another thing is, losers can't be won. The sperm that got to deal with is the winner. But you can make yourself a loser all your life by talking to yourself with words. until you're good and sick. And then you wake up to the reality. You did it to yourself, nobody did it to you. So, not a man is forced to realize more and more what he is instead of who he is. We chanted a little while ago, and we identified certain parts of the anatomy. That's the coccyx, the sacrum, lumbar, thoracic, cervical, and the pituitary is normally called the placenta in man, and the pineal is called the mastocenta, and the medulla, which is the most critical of them all, is referred to by Jesus as part of God. And every doctor knows if you stick the medulla with a pin, you'll be dead instantly. But you can cut up the brain anywhere you want, except around the medulla, the Golgotha, and the hypothalamus. And if you take it to the feather, you'll get paralyzed for life. So they don't monkey around with that part of your anatomy. They'll change your heart for you, your liver and all other parts. You're finding out now that none of these parts stay together if the harmonics don't work. Therefore, your heart transplant begins to collapse after a while. And the organ that gives out in a heart transplant is not the heart. As the story goes, the patient had a wonderful heart transplant that died from kidney failure around 6 o'clock in the afternoon. 99% of the death certificates. So the modern doctor is forced to look now. Maybe there's something they're missing as to why it doesn't work. And the reality is showing up in the facts, physics. We have ignored the sonic resonance of structure of matter and how they integrate. And that is why early man recognized it, but couldn't put it in a scientific language. He put it in an agricultural language. Modern physics has not found any new truth. All that we have done is validate what agricultural man knew, but didn't know how to convey it, but placed it in a language structure that would leave the individual in a state of guilt whenever they deviate from that particular behavior. Today we know there is no need for guilt, and that the body does and operates by a sonic resonance. So, we'll be seeing tremendous transformation in your medical approach to your health. More and more holistic understanding of the person as an individual rather than a symptom is emerging in every field of research. Ancient men had one disadvantage. It takes too long to chant away with your lungs those sonic resonances to activate a regeneration of this breakdown of the soul. But by his hard-headed, dog-headed, stick-it-out attitude, because structurally he's a winner, he does make it bring about results. So they say you've got faith. All I say is, you master the endurance game. With modern physics, we can reduce the endurance game to a way in which we can take the same frequency from the mouth, identify it with the organ, put it into a device, record it, and play it to the amplitude level of where you can hear it without shutting your eyes and wandering off into some nebulous region looking for it. And it will automatically bring about a correction in the organ. We've come that far already. So we're not worried about what they say anymore, because science is already demonstrated. Devices are made and proven that you can maintain a frequency low enough to make a cellular correction in the body. Man is at the verge of a quantum leap into his true nature for the first time. What he is and not who he is. So, religion will lose its churchianity and gain its Christianity. Christianity is not a person. It's a principle set up by nature to incorporate the unity of all matter into itself. But when the man Jesus spoke, he gave terms as, I and the Father are one, you see me, you see the Father, and I myself can do nothing but the Father, and he doeth everything. These are all agricultural terms for a very fundamental physical law that sonics is responsible. Geometrical shapes of 144 elements to hold their particular structure over a continued length of time frequency. It's a foregone conclusion, and the evidence is there. No doubt to the dark way. Because it can be demonstrated very fast. Every scientist, there's no way you can get around that fact no more. Not only hear it, but you can see it. Not only see it, you can operate it. So, we've come to the realization, if we don't make any attempt to re-evaluate our health and our life as to what we are and only cater to who we are, then we are entitled to live tonight. And that attitude is valid for those who want to do it. And you can be my guest. You can buy a piece of land to be buried in it, 6 feet under. And may you rest in peace with a piece of stone above it saying, rest in peace. And the 144 elements that makes up your environment will provide any opportunity you desire to experience living to die. of life will go on following geometry and shape in the form of sonics till midnight eternity. So living to live is a different attitude altogether. Because to live, you have to breathe. And even Brother Jesus wouldn't breathe for you. And when I fell off the building years ago and died, he and all the rest were standing there looking at me, but they wouldn't breathe for me. They smile and say, "We love you. The whole thing is love." Breathe. And when I breathed, I got my breath back into the body and I began to live again. But then, like everything else, I can find every excuse you want to leave, only to discover I'm going no place, I never left any place, and I've always been here in the form of breath. So I have two options. If I breathe to live, I have the old body to work with. And if I quit breathing and become breath free, I'll get another body to start all over again. So a biblical writer says, "To him that overcometh, I'll not send forth a second time." Overcome what? Then we found out what you got to overcome. Living, not to breathe, you have to overcome. Which means you don't want to breathe no more, they bury you. And if you want to breathe, they'll keep you. And every way possible, we make devices to see if we can keep you going till you can do it yourself. And so when you don't do it yourself and it stops, the report is written up as patient lost the will to live. Therefore, the respiratory function shut down, the organs became non-functional, and hence, you can not do anything more than send to the part back or to the cemetery.
Adana, why were you given the option to start breathing again? Because of all your years of meditation, you were conscious of death, whereas somebody else wouldn't be conscious? So they would have nobody around there to show them to start breathing again?
No, everybody had a chance.
They do?
Yes.
To take up their body again and breathe?
That's right.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Very simple. Who wants to live over the agony before yesterday? You want to?
Live over the past agony?
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't.
Good. Now you answer your question. Most people wouldn't. Because they don't see the happiness of the next 20 years ahead. You can't live tomorrow before it happened, but you have lived yesterday already and you don't like it. So it's foregone conclusion in your brain, you're going to want to do it again. Because you're familiar with the anguish of the past and unfamiliar with the joy of the future.
But they're going to take up another body anyway.
So, to do what?
To start all over again.
So that's exactly why they're given temporary suspension of memory in the form of the uterine canal. So you see, when a child comes out of the womb and says to the mom, "He ain't my daddy." Now that didn't happen in another country, it happened in America 3 months ago. The doctors are blown away now. In this they delivered this baby.
The baby said it?
Yeah, the baby spoke right out.
And he said, "What? He ate my daddy?" Oh my gosh.
And that's why he ate my daddy.
Honesty.
The husband is really throw it off.
Yes.
And not too long ago in Italy, I'm waiting for because they took the video and they did the album, and I'm waiting for them because the one in Italy where the baby literally walk off the bed as soon as they cut the cord. These are the unusual things that are happening. And I'm waiting for the other picture of the 4.5 month pregnancy that completes itself. The mother will not have to go 9 months to have the child. Double dilation can be accomplished in 4.5 months for the baby with less stress to the muscular structure. In the last 2 years, the research and the work has already been done in certain ways. Volunteers. So I'm waiting for all those actual video pictures now with all the data. But one of the common bond in all of these things, they've all had to admit that sonics made it possible. It would never have happened. In none of them, there's a sonic frequency that dominates it all. We may not like it, but it's sure popping up more and more every day.
Well, didn't you say that eventually the children will come out of the womb and go on from planet XYZ? In other words, they will retain their memory from all time.
Well, Yogananda did it, and several others did it. So it's just that the time when they were doing it, society wasn't ready to look at what they are. They're still locked into their womb. But more and more, as the health program gets out of the focus on all the different situations that are popping up to make us vulnerable, as my friend would say, I'm an orthodox doctor with 1 foot on the ground, and I'm an unorthodox doctor with 1 foot in the air. He says, now years ago, if you'd asked me to be unorthodox, I said, what? He said, but the facts are showing up. So I have 1 foot on the ground to be orthodox, and the other foot in the air to be unorthodox. He said, but I can't get both off. Not as yet. So he said, and then he described, I spent 2 days with him. He said, years ago, anything that was unorthodox was a weirdo. And anything that was orthodox was consistent. But when you go back to the dictionary, unorthodox means to do it for the first time and nobody believe you. Orthodox is do it the second time and repeats itself, very functional, and everybody believes you. So he has to change his viewpoints too. So he is part orthodox and part unorthodox. So he tests things for the first time. And if it does work the second time, he'll put it at the cattle market. But he would not negate any idea to test something once, as he would years ago. Now, he has seen too many processes in nature that attitude is no longer valid. And so we are facing not only chemistry as a means for regulating the body, but the sonic frequencies for the first time that seem to trigger unusual conditions in the chemistry department. And the sonics are audible, but they're invisible. Until you can see them visibly move matter, you wouldn't accept its existence. And until you see matter conform to the resonance frequency of the sound, you wouldn't even believe it. You may take it for granted because you grew up in the church. But if you're hard-headed, nitty-gritty like me, you're not going to believe it till you see it. But then when you see it, you want to investigate it more. And so the facts are manifesting that we are and continue to be the result of sonic frequencies. last couple of days, I gave a workshop in Santa Fe. I didn't have the unit at the time. Then I was in Tucson to demonstrate what the human body sounds like inside. So when I put the unit on the people there at the workshop, nobody could have believed their body sounded that like that. Think for one moment, what would the inside of your body sound like? Your own body, nobody in this room, your body. How would it sound like inside of you?
From the surface. Probably a whole bunch of things.
There, they had the experience. You want to tell them what your body sounds like?
Well, it's not music, that's for sure.
Chaos. I was shocked. I have no idea. Yet within that sonic chaos, there was a consistency of order to hold it together as a form.
Yeah.
And that was what's so unusual about it.
Is it
you
the
are
same?
Nothing but a tubular container of chaotic sound waves. But in a strange way, these chaotic sound waves centralize, organize into five frequencies to hold it together.
In other words, it had a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it was. It had a familiar sound to it. Everybody listened to their own sound. It was real chaotic, but it was something familiar about it.
Yeah, is it like the sound current that you hear when everything's really quiet? It gets really loud.
It's just static on the radio.
Or when your ears are
closed. Is everybody's different?
Yeah, it's everybody's different. That's what I wanted.
Depending upon the trauma in your body, you'll be different.
Boy,
if you have a trauma in this area of the hand, it will be different than another person's hand having no trauma in that area. Let's say you hit that hand at age 3, and it really pained you, and they did everything possible to soothe the pain, but the bruise took many days to the sonic frequency that injured that spot cannot be removed until you put another input frequency to correct it. It will remain there in that area, and the device will come over and pick it up. And you can pass it to another person who never hit that spot, and then you get the frequency that is. Until you put the other frequency back, then that won't work. So we know now the validity of confessing your sins before your fellow man. Who said that? Brother Jesus, right? He said, you talk it out. Talk out all your frustrations with others so you can release the sonic stress of the incidents that happened in your life. That's the quickest way to get it out. There are other ways, but technical devices to get it out. But the quickest way to get it out is if you can recall it and talk about it, it automatically corrects.
Does that mean that there's a verbal starting point for anything that would happen to your body? I was trying to figure out where verbal sonics would have so much impact on your body if everything comes from the word. So each malfunction of the body would be traced ultimately not even to the action that did it, but to the words that preceded the action?
Adjective, pronoun, adverb, verb, noun. All are guilty.
But your thoughts are sonics too then. Your thoughts are sonics too.
Oh, well, that's just the geometry. in terms of input conditioning.
But when you focus the thought, then it's phonics. Phonics, just like
verbal. But you have to give it a verbalization. So somebody says.
You have to verbalize it. You can't just
so
think
they call
it.
So label.
But the thought itself can affect the geometry of the body the same as the sonics.
As hand quality.
I can't do it either way, so at this stage in my awareness, so.
You speak English?
Mm-hmm.
This is an object.
Mm-hmm.
Give it an English term. That the people in the room who speak English will agree with it.
Like kind of a stool.
A stool. Everybody agree with that term?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is a stool?
An object that's little and has some legs that make it stand firm.
Oh, it's something my dog poops. That's valid too.
Yeah. It depends what you label it verbally. It's just the sonics of it.
Crab!
Is that really a stool? Or is that an optical fixation by virtue of programming in reference to your need to function with it?
It's programming related to my needs to function with it.
So as long as you talk it and keep repeating it, that label will set up the adzenic condition.
Yeah.
But if it falls and hit you, what would you say hit you?
This object, what I call the stool.
Ah, but then the resonant frequency that will indicate and that injury would not an object. It will register the level of the frequency called stool. Now it can be, as he said, something from a dog, or from something that you label an object hard enough to do that particular reaction.
So your perception and experience of the event is based on the sonics of whatever you designate that thing to be.
By virtue of that, you're a victim of perceiving.
Absolutely.
So you make yourself victim to the limitations of the word. The actual object didn't do a doggone thing. But your label of its reaction on your body leaves a residue in your skin to be picked up at a future date as an interference in that particular area of your anatomy and doesn't register in accordance with the brain.
And
so
how would
that,
she get it to go away?
That's,
that's what I'll
know. Yeah, I'm
how
sure.
Do you not think that?
Yeah, that's what you're
is.
Saying. That's what I meant. That's where it starts.
I know you meant it. But every time you see it, you'll say, what? That hit me when I was 3 years of age?
Mm-hmm.
And every time you go to bed at night and you don't know who you are, if you're a man or woman, what happened to this one?
She stays there.
Where? You sure now? You got to do what? Open your eyes to do what?
To miss it.
To trigger
to see it.
The condition to aggravate you.
To see it.
And if you don't open your eyes and you don't breathe, they bury you.
And so you open your eyes and you breathe and you trigger situations to aggravate you until you figure it out.
So then Brother Jesus was right. It's not what you put in your mouth is going to defile you or break you down. But what comes out in your mouth every second will break you down in your enzymes.
Yeah, but
two
it
days
happens
ago,
when you're a little
two
baby.
2 days ago,
the
I was in a very top-notch scientist who did lots of research, and he never heard anyone put it together so fast in terms of the physics. He was doing the research at the same time as I'm trying to pinpoint what was it that made the human voice break down the body. He'd been working for 20 years. And I said to him, you know, you just made the comment just now. And you're still searching. And if I tell you what will do it, and you go test it now, you got the proof. And he said, what was that? I said, the enzymes in his saliva. And his eyes popped open. He said, let me not talk about that. He said, but that makes more sense. I'll let you know the results. But he said that makes more sense than anything he's been doing for years. You get to pinpoint what each word, its resonance frequency as a feedback, doing to the anatomy. It has to go back to the enzymes. They fire up into the brain very fast. So that's how homeopathic medicine was able to get through. By putting something in under the thumb to get an enzymic reaction to the brain to regulate it. So we do hurt ourselves, like it or not, by our best enemy and worst friend called out.
And is there fear involved in this with what we tell ourselves?
The fear is inability for us to cope with the anguish. If we can cope with the anguish, there's no fear. But since we can't cope with the anguish or feel very stressed out when the anguish is building up, we tend to do that.
Is there an automatic anguish that comes when we start to label things with language somehow? Is there an anguish inherent in language?
Yes, all language.
Just in the process of having to... Things necessarily would not have a form if we didn't give it a name. And so there's an anguish as we create those things?
Yes.
Why would that be an anguishing process? I mean, why would we...
I'll give it to you very simply. Modern science is working right now. Did daddy ask you as a sperm to volunteer to go to meet the ovum and mommy?
No. Mm-hmm.
But you were thrown out without your consent. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Who won? You or the rest?
I won.
But you had to be very ambitious. You had to pull every crime in to the next turn time. So, the ingrained anguish is in this security process of your formation being disrupted without consent. If you gave your consent, you volunteered to go out, and then all the rest would be working to get you to your destination.
So our need to put things in order, whether it's through language, is like a process to redo that initial being forced out.
Yes. But you see, if you gave your consent to do it, you wouldn't do it. Because you were drafted and had no right of your own, you did it under survival. And that makes you the winner. At that basic biological level, an imprint memory that can't be revoked no matter how we try. We may not like it, and we may blame every kind of label in this world for our so-called anguish in us, but the actual fact is there is no way we can get around being thrown out from security to contend with insecurity and come out looking for security as a means to pacify our anguish that is locked up from that experience. So we are always trying to live for security and maintaining that idea in our brain and our mechanism so that we feel happy. And when that particular condition falls apart, we get stressed out, never realizing that's how nature tests the mechanism to see if it will improve and become better in its immunity to cope. Our fear of challenge and our fear of coping makes our immunity diminishes. And if we don't fear to cope, regardless what comes up, and just stick it out, our immunity increases.
Would that be kind of a like a step beyond existentialism, where you'd almost, where if it's existential and the big fear was that there was no order, and then the step beyond that would be that the order is that there is no order?
Yes.
And that's the acceptance of that?
Yes.
So you'd see that in your worldly process. You'd see, like in the...
You have to accept...
Like in the earthquake.
See, no order is insecurity. They call it chaos. And then, no consent is panic, because you're drafted to act on survival structure. And if you survive the survival process or the panic, you seek order and balance to function.
But then that's you also, not timing. That's not living in time.
No, that's automatically sets up the disease to break you down. And that is what you tranquilize yourself into death.
But you have to go through that, don't you?
Well, if you don't go through, how would you get the other level? Security doesn't come from security. Security comes from insecurity.
Which is living.
So, Jesus, when he was in the body, he put the two levels very simple. The peace I give, the world don't give. The world gives you 6 feet under the ground, and may you rest in peace, very secure. Nobody's going to bug you. But what kind of peace can Jesus give you? The peace I give you, the world don't give. What kind of peace is he giving you? He ain't giving you 6 feet under the ground. He ain't giving you no nebulous region in the sky. But he's giving you peace that passes all understanding, and that peace would have to be a factual science. And the factual science is this, the strength to cope with the moment. And the strength to cope with the moment is not to panic.
Is it just to know that the moment will pass?
Live the moment, not know it, live it. You don't know the breath coming in nostrils, you live the air in your nostrils by breathing it. And when it goes out and it don't come back, what do you do with you? In the meantime, when it's going out, you take it for granted it's going to come back. But when it don't come back, what will you notice happening to your body?
Shut down.
It starts to constrict. So the yogis didn't teach a breath-free state as an ideal way to relate to the creative intelligence. They taught a breathless state as an ideal way to relate to the creative intelligence. So Paul came along and said, I live and die daily in the Lord, meaning he knew the breathless state, but he ain't practicing no breath-free state. But then he says, I don't want to work for nobody, I'm going to go work for myself. So he wanted to be a tent maker, work for himself. And the Roman government says, no, this guy is a threat to our society. We need slaves and all kinds of jerks to work for us. Get rid of him. So when they crucified him, they're blown away now. He don't rot. Son of a girl. Or what did we do to this guy? Now we turn around and look at the caterpillar. And it does a breathless state principle also, and emerges as a something they call a butterfly. And of all the creatures designed to fly, there's nothing more beautiful than a butterfly. Yet a butterfly is a worm. It doesn't come out from another butterfly, laying an egg and then hatch out and be butterfly. It comes from a butterfly, yes, laying an egg, but turned to the worm. And I squashed up a lot of caterpillars, and all of them rot. But I haven't seen a rotten butterfly to this day after squashing them up in the lab. So if your DNAs and RNAs are set up in the same way like the butterfly, then we're selling ourselves short by what we call it in the mouth.
And any language does that, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. So but you see, the one advantage though, other languages are limited in the realization of releasing the guilt. English is the only language, the same word make you guilty, the same word can make you happy. D-O-G is man's best friend. Spell it backwards, still a man's best friend. D-E-V-I-L is devil, son of a gun. Spell it backwards, you don't know how to do it. So they say that you're a devil because you don't live right. English will free you and confine you in your right brain, left brain integration.
What does sign do? What does sign do?
Sign?
Sign.
Sign language.
People that sign and not talk.
And again, their fixations, I will give it to them.
It's still the same fixation, even though it's not spoken.
That's right.
Like in Navajo, they do a lot more description than label in the language. So that we would say, I said stool, they would say in that object, which is kind of light brown in color and has, you know, two objects that look like this. And they describe it like that. Does that let loose a little bit of the labeling in that
to
process?
Some extent, but English will pull you out quicker. Mm-hmm. Today we were driving down and we stopped at a place to get some Indian bread. And I said to the man behind the car, Yata He, Dinawa. And he said, that's Navajo, me not Navajo. What you say? But his way of saying, Yata He. I twisted, said, what did you say? And so when we meet your friend, what do you say? It's the same thing, Yatahe. But between his language, Woyasa means hello, and Yatahe in his Navajo, what the hell is this happening today? And in English, you can fit both say, Woyasa, eh? So you free yourself both from the two ethnic conditions that lock it. And he was very amazed because that's what he was saying. But English frees you because it can pull the various songs to release you. That's why.
Well, it's a mixture of many languages. Is that part of life?
But then when you begin to realize a mixture of many languages, what is the language other than a fixation, a label, with a resonance frequency, an object that is totally independent to itself. Mm-hmm. All the incidents are independent, all the objects are independent, but you gotta label them.
Is that because we're labeling in our awareness as our who we are, or what we are, by once you label it, then you're starting to learn the power of sonics in order to transform the geometry, or, you know, understanding that all objects are geometry,
right.
Sonics. So it's just like learning how to crawl.
Yeah. That's why the child, the church says, you give it to me up to 7 years and you can have it, you'll never leave us. Today we know that's programming in a computer. But if that was totally 100% true, I'd agree to it. But I know it's not 100% true. Because there is no such thing as 100% anything in this case. Everything is a 99. God is 99% of the time God, and 1% of the time it is all different. Because if it's God, you'd have to occupy every space in the universe, or in the hell of that can ever have existing alongside with it. So that tells you he's his own devil 1% of the time. to harass his own creation to see if it was taken up. And if you're a scientist, and you make this object, the biggest challenge to you is, where will it break down? So you're going to test it with every form of harassment to discover the breaking point, and then you catalog it. And you have a warranty written to say, don't go beyond that stress level, collapse, stay within this functional range. That's a sample. So God is the own devil by harassing you. 99% of the time he's playing God, 1% he's playing devil. Then he turns around and plays 99% of the time he's devil. You say, oh my God, what the hell, where are you? And 1% he comes out again.
So the 1% were not programmed, it's their own consciousness.
So when you change all that total terms and you come back to yourself, you still got a taste to show. So that's what we're learning now. When you take a bath and you look in the mirror, you see what you are. But you can't go out on the road till you put on legal who, not egotistical who. Now, there's a difference between legal who and egotistical who. Legal who is not to be fined for obscenity. So you can't walk in the road nude. So you put on a bed sheet around you and you call it legal who or moo moo. You want to make it egotistical who, you can dress it up with all kinds of nice fancy looking things, and that's egotistical. But what you are is still what you are. And that's why when we come back to our health, we're trying to realize nobody's making us sick but our own mind, most of the time.
Remember when you told us that if you said something that you wanted to take back, you could. Is an apology a form of taking it back? Does that work the same way?
Yes. No. Maybe. Yes, you could take it back as an apology, and it will resolve itself. No. If you're not aware of the enzyme's reaction in your system, what it has done, when you utter the statement, there is no way your mind frame will alter the chemistry for that enzymic discharge. It's already gone to the area to knock out the system. In some form or other, you'll feel certain biological symptoms out of sync with yourself. And maybe if you catch yourself before you do close off your comments about a certain situation, you can do like Brother Jesus, spit the neck, and then your enzyme wouldn't have any effect in your system. But you have one problem in this society. You can't go around spitting every time you utter erroneous terminology. You think you're crazy.
People be doing a lot of spitting too, Adana, when you think about
it. That's why there's laws. You can't spit
on
the sidewalk.
I think so.
You can't spit on the sidewalk, then you're fine.
Yeah.
But in the olden days, I think in a saloon, they had a thing called spitting or spitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Donna, when you do the play the tape of the sounds of the body, and if there's a condition of whatever the trauma is in the body, is it just how does the tape match up to the sounds in In other words, do you have to play the tape right through at least once to match up to get the trauma through the loop? Okay. And could it eventually cure any kind of trauma, including brain dysfunction?
When you use the word cure,
well,
there is no such thing.
Okay.
A harmonic exists in every part of your anatomy to make it functional. And then you can go either sharp or flat. That will cause it to be distorted. So for that reason, if the correct harmonic for that piece of anatomy or portion of the anatomy responds to make it function is sent back, the mechanism will match itself to be functional again. And whatever is discarded will be forced to correct itself.
So,
or leave the mechanism in some form as a shunting out sensation. So you may yell, sneeze, burp,
release it somehow.
And successful healing to the therapist is when you fart. It's called exhaust release. Every mechanic knows that when he's working on a machine, he'd like to see if the machine will give an exhaust discharge. Tell him he's getting efficient operation from the machine. And this may sound comical as far as the human body is concerned, but every professional person knows that's the ultimate evidence of the correction of the body's ability to function efficiently. The downward discharge, the carbon dioxide that is brought in by the inhibition to the area where it was locked. So that's basically what we look at. We don't take those things for granted or being necessary because we never look at it as being important. But as we come more and more to see the actual functioning, these conditions are showing up more and more to be valid.
Does that mean society's going to change and clap when somebody farts?
Well, here is what we use in the modern idiom. When you burp, you say Gesundheit. And when you fart, you say Gesundheit.
Tight?
Yeah, you don't want them to have it open because they have diarrhea. So don't go say Gesundheit.
You know, when we were in nursing school, when anyone passed gas, or, you know, we were always taught, you know, to tell the patient that it was music to our ears.
Yes.
I'm serious. Because when you see someone that agonizing and in the release that they have, you know, it really is a, you know, so we'd say, they'd look at us, you know, we go, that's music to us.
Right. You see, the therapist is aware of that from the anatomical structures. So they release the gas. Then when they hiccup, you say, because I'm good. See, a hiccup is a frustrated burp.
Doesn't know which way to go.
You don't have to go up or go down a big stinger.
So if someone's really having a lot of indecision, they'll hiccup.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's funny how these laws work. Tomorrow, I'll be here. I think we have an option to those who want to partake. It will be a sonic workshop. We'll be doing it mostly in the day, right into the evening, because on Thursday I have to be in Sedona to give a workshop on nutrition. So pushing it right through the day and night, based on sonics and how to correct the heal you, help yourself by some processes in your own body.
What time will it start?
Well, you figure 10 o'clock, earliest.
Here?
Later.
Yeah.
You won't go any later than 11. You have to start at 11. So if you get here by 11, you're going to start. But you'll be doing both tomorrow. If that's.
So you want to start at 10, did you say? Or
well, you would like to start at 10. They'll say, well, they say 11 is the latest. No later than 11.
No later. So everybody should hear.
Okay, well, let's try to put it at 10. If you want to talk about the cost.
Yeah.
The cost is $385. It includes the machine, the tapes, and the charts in the work process. And when it's finished, we give you a vacuuming of your own sonic resonances, your own mechanism, so that you don't absorb other people. Negative discharge of their resonances into your body.
You give a what? A negative?
A vacuuming.
A vacuum?
In the old traditional language, cleanliness is next to godliness. Build me a church, let me dwell in the midst thereof. And all those were all nice agricultural terms. Today, in the modern technical language, we know for sure, without doubt, that the body is the only church.
Mm-hmm.
And the creative intelligence is the sonic resonance that runs it. And the negative resonant frequencies are the ones that, when the body was hurt, they clutter. So if you have a nice place and all the carpet is dirty and the corners are full of it and pocket of junk, you certainly find that you can move around inside of it. So your own body is a clutter from the time you're born to the time you take active control to clean it up. These resonances are in there, cluttering you up. Now, who is the person in this room never hit their body? Has anyone in this room never had their body hit?
No, I still think that way. I had my body hit.
Well, I'll show you why you couldn't exist without having it hit. Your mother had to bump herself when she's pregnant with you.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor would have to cut the cord, and that's where part's going to be hit.
And
then you're going to turn you upside
out.
Down and
you're
going to smack it to see if it's going to breathe or not. So, and then all through the years, you're clumsy enough till you function a necro balance. You're going to fall and hit yourself anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't remember. Yet the body will store them all in different parts of the anatomy and has resonance and has color. And a friend now who we're working together, so how to get the device now to read off in colors.
Mm-hmm.
So that sometime when you come back again, you just begin to put together. Mm-hmm. You'll not only hear, now you'll hear the sound, but you want to see it in the ear of the body, reading off as a specific color of the spectrum, and the duration length of time to which it has been retained in the body, and the malfunctioning it has done to the body's ability to handle stress.
Well, is the diet another way to deal with this, to vacuum the body? Or is this another entity entirely?
I hope you don't think the word vacuum means what?
To clean.
All right. Tell me how you're going to get rid of... You heard it. How are you going to get rid of it now?
I don't know.
There are devices that will pull it out and play it back when you hear it. Come right out. We've gone that far already.
To understand how the voice works with this, are these any trauma then that's happened to your body that's almost like a, would you think of it, if you were trying to visualize it like a benign tumor, and those are potentially activated by words, so that anybody is potentially a walking time bomb of wherever particular
like hot spots.
Things right, have been, right. Yeah, like hot spots. But to trigger those, language has to trigger that, right? Am I understanding it correctly? Or would these things work on you no matter what? If you never spoke a word, that you never created the enzymes in your mouth, would anything get activated in your body to potentially harm yourself? If you're the main person that harms yourself.
There's a form of therapy today called primal scream. What they're trying to get rid of?
The birth trauma, I think. Primal scream?
Stress neurosis. Trying to release stress neurosis.
What is stress?
Discomfort. Discomfort.
Comes from that.
Panic.
Temper.
The discomfort comes from that. He says panic. The only reason you can panic is when you don't get the oxygen. Then you can panic. Because you start drumming in emptiness of your structure. And then you can go into a frenzy trying to pull your head and your hair apart to get your nose to breathe. And you'll beat your chest to make songs like Tarzan to see if you're living. Don't you know something? No knocking. It takes pain to break out of that vacuum to breathe again. And there was a good picture that was made not too long ago. Altered states. When the man was in the electromagnetic field, diminishing away from the chemical structure by the resonance frequency, he had to beat his hand against the wall to create pain in order for the chemistry to speed up, to slow down the magnetic field and come back to the human body. It's not fiction. I've been in that state, so I should know. If you have different speeds in the body, you don't have three bodies. You have three speeds. You have a chemical body, you have an electrical field and a magnetic field. But they'll play all kind of tricks in your brain if you don't understand them. And then you get left in the mental anguish of it. But once you begin to understand what you are, you can start correctly. So your own sonics and your own breath will pull you out or lock you in.
Is it all kind of everything that we put ourselves through is kind of a pantomime? Is it? It seems like. For that one, for the metamorphosis from the caterpillar to the butterfly. So it's all, we're going through. Actually, on a day-to-day basis, we're going through the process that you've described meditation as taking you to.
Yeah.
We go through it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So a meditative state in the waking would be the recognition of those moments when you're, whether it's near-death moments, it'd be more aware how each moment that you go through near death processes. I'm not describing it very good.
Take it out.
Why do you have to go in an altered state? Or why do you have to work so hard to get to that if it is that daily or constant occurrence? I don't know. The image I've got in my mind is kind of like dancing around in a circle until you go fast enough that you catch up with yourself.
Let me ask a question. Did you grow from a sperm to an adult, or you dilated?
I don't know.
Did you grow from a sperm to an adult? Mm-hmm. Or did you dilate?
Oh, you dilated. This one is fracture.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess
dilate is expansion.
Oh, keep that. And growing.
Growing is expansion too.
Mm-hmm. That's where the illusion is. You didn't grow, and I didn't grow. But we dilated in the most fantastic laws of science and physics.
Is that an awareness?
This dilation has a certain frequency to where it will reach, and then it'll stop dilating beyond that point.
But now dilation, is that, you have division of cells.
You didn't mention the ovum.
Hmm?
You didn't mention the ovum. You said that you grow from a sperm.
The ovum dilated too.
You didn't grow from a sperm. You told us you must have the combustion.
Yes, they come together to dilate or to grow. Mm-hmm.
To dilate.
That's more factual. They don't grow.
So we're in a state of...
They bonded electromagnetically to dilate chemically.
Well, dilation is still happening.
Yeah.
But we're not aware of it.
You may call it an incorrect dilation.
But I'm not aware of it.
If you call an incorrect dilation on your arm, you call it like a tumor.
Bump.
A non-acceptable dilation.
Mm-hmm. Is it just ahead of itself?
Now, if the dilation shrinks back, what do you call it?
Constriction.
Constriction. So the area is what? Mm-hmm. Operating normal? So, what happened to the... In the first place, then?
It was too fast.
So, the factual thing about all of us is that we started off in a constricted state and dilate to a level where we can function to accept this is what we are.
So that's what hyper and hypo are, too fast, too slow.
So therefore certain frequencies or patterns are set up for how much dilation. So, if a person dilates to 400 pounds, should they shrink back to 120?
Mm-hmm.
What do they got to get rid of now? Out there, affected?
Stress. Stress. Distress. Distress.
Is it carbon dioxide?
Well, what's going to dilate you?
Breathing on time, eating on time.
Hmm?
Breathing, eating on time, bring you back to your...
So, in the womb, who breathes for you?
Your mother.
Good. And then I cut the cord, who breathes for you? Then what is the breathing for? To get rid of what?
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide.
So if you don't get rid of carbon dioxide, are you going to keep dilating?
You're
going to
stop breathing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get rid of the carbon dioxide,
you
stop breathing.
You got to get rid of the carbon dioxide. So, between you and the plant, let them take all the oxygen and give you back your carbon dioxide. What would happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
So, now, you came before the environment? The
environment came before us.
Then, if God decided that the environment came before you, he should make a the plants use the oxygen, give off carbon dioxide, and then make you after, so you can do it.
Give
carbon
dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be us and we'd be
living.
Oh, I thought that's what
you're talking about, right? Interesting phenomena. You come up breathing in the oxygen, the plant breathes in the carbon dioxide. You give out to the plant your own carbon dioxide, right? And so the plant takes it and gives you back oxygen. We say that's reciprocal exchange. But we're lucky that the plant came before us. So the plant didn't come before us, and where would we be?
Do you think we're mutating now because there's so much carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide on the planet? I see buses going down the street and little children are sitting, you know, sitting on the curbs and inhaling it. And I wonder, are we mutating already?
The thing you have to consider, and this is very hard to accept at times, that there is no such thing as constant utopia. It doesn't exist. It's an imagination to free us from striving to cope by challenge, because we don't like to experience insecurity. We like to experience security, pacification, tranquility. That is what we call the something for nothing attitude, or a passenger in a car. But whenever you have to decide to get behind the wheel and be a driver, you have the responsibility of your health, life, the car, and the other individual driving his car or her car, who may totally ignore you and slash right into you. So therefore you're put into the jeopardy of becoming aware every second of your environment. But that's the only way you will develop a higher level of immunity under the stress of challenge. You can't develop it if it doesn't exist. You're not going to go anyplace. It seems tough and rough, but greater the obstacle, greater the force. No obstacle, a weak force. It's the laws of physics. We can't break them, we got to work with them. So ancient men call it cross. Pick up your cross and follow. Modern men call it the forecasting of their nativity or your birth. I call it the scope of the horror.
The what?
Horoscope. You come in at a certain moment of time, return certain configurations of the planetary systems, having the electromagnetic frequencies to which you are subjected to, and you have to live with them in order to develop the internal immunity of your own magnetic fields. You're carrying 144 elements in this container called a skin. And if you were to hear the resonant sound, it'll blow your mind away, let alone if you see the configurations, apart from how it takes pieces to look like an object. But we don't realize this until we have to work with it, that we're nothing but walking, talking, container of frequencies. That in a strange way, all these frequencies seem to converge to stay together, to function without too much deviation if it focuses on its own internal potential. It wouldn't deviate much. But the moment it starts to deviate or feel threatened, then the internal qualities start to break down. Mm-hmm.
done. Yeah. Is this tape with all the songs on it, is this something that's part of this class tomorrow, or do you have to drop it?
Yeah, it's part of their class tomorrow. Yeah, let's give it to you.
Well, those are the same songs that are in the Prisoner of
No, Prisoner of Love is organized noise called music. The songs in this particular tape are what you're made of.
Now, each of the 144 elements, then, each of them connect with one of those five frequencies?
Yeah.
And what's the pattern?
Dharma, are some of the 144 elements, are they, or what would be caught on the etheric level? In other words, they're not, how should I say it? They're not, I know this is just a perception, something like this, although I can't quite see it right. In other words, some of the 144 elements, they're not like this, and they're not liquids, and they're not gases. Is that correct? Or is that incorrect?
They're still have to have a crystal base. And the crystalline base is controlled by resonance.
So they do have the whole. Should I say it's structured to it?
Take a drop of water. Mm-hmm. What is water made of?
H2O.
Good. Do you know you can make four different geometries with sound alone by
steam,
nice geometry.
Oh, geometry.
You mean isotopes?
No, geometry. You put one frequency in the water, and the water itself will make a certain geometry. As long as that frequency goes to the water, that geometry will stay there. So that geometry can be photographed.
Well, like that video we watched that once.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Then you put But then you put another frequency, and the water will change its geometry. Then you put another frequency and the water will change its geometry. And if you add another frequency, it'll change its geometry. Mm-hmm. And if you have four frequencies going through it now, you have what he would say, the water looking very etheric, nebulously disconnected, but to some way, certain parts of the water are holding together to make the geometry. Now if you put a powder with the water and combine it like a dough, and you add five frequencies, you have for the first time a three-dimensional object define the gravity. Mm-hmm. And it takes five frequencies to defy gravity and to make any object that is three-dimensional lift up. And there's no way to get around the five. And it takes two more to tear it up.
What about just one more?
Well, nature closes its own circuit where it starts. So when you say a scale is seven notes, the eighth note is not in the scale for the scale. It's there to close the circuit. That's why everything is a helix in the pattern of eight. It has to close its own circuit. The ignition switch in your car is the same spot when you turn it forward or backward. So that's, we can't make a single machinery to be a functional organism if it doesn't adhere to certain natural laws that are there already. Now, you notice when you buy your car and the